Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis? The book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 50. I'm always glad when Halloween is over with. And you know, you see caskets out there, and to get you to think about death, and I suppose to scare you. But I wanted to talk today about a coffin that brings us hope instead of death. So would you turn to Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 through 26 will be our text this morning. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you up out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your blessing would be upon this service today. And Lord, at first there might not appear to be much in this passage, but Lord, you have inspired it to be there. And we pray that we would learn why you have put this passage in your word and how we might apply it to our life today, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Genesis is known as the book of beginnings. In its pages, we find the first mention of many things. We find the first mention of prayer, the first mention of rain, the first time marriage is mentioned, it's in the book of Genesis. The first time death is mentioned, it's in the book of Genesis. The first time childbirth is mentioned, it's in the book of Genesis. It's also a book that ends quite differently than it begins. It begins with creation and ends with a coffin. It begins with life and it ends with death. That's a rather odd situation. In our text this morning, we are confronted with the death of one of the Bible's most spectacular characters, a man by the name of Joseph. Nowhere in the Bible, I don't think, is there a clearer portrait of Jesus Christ himself than in the life of Joseph. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ, and he paints the life of Jesus very vividly, very beautiful for us as we study him. In this passage, we find that Joseph lived to be 110 years old. As he lays dying, he gives a strange commandment to his brothers. And he said, when you leave Egypt, I want you to carry my bones with you. I want you to take my bones with you to the land of Canaan, the land that God has promised that you will dwell in. He was not to be buried in a pyramid like the other pharaohs or the great leaders of the land. He was put in a humble coffin, waiting for the time that he would be carried out of there and be taken home. So after his death, all that remains of Joseph is a coffin in Egypt. It stood as a testimony of faith to this great man of God. For we read in Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter where it talks about the heroes of faith, we read this about Joseph in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. For over 360 years, the bones of Joseph laid in that coffin in Egypt. It spoke a message. It became a powerful preacher to the people of Israel. Now, would you agree with me that God sometimes uses strange preachers to get his message across? God was one time able to use a donkey to preach a message to his servant Balaam. It was questionable whether Balaam really was his servant or not, as he persisted in doing his own way and following after his greed. And God used a donkey to actually speak to him and to preach him to him and try to get him to come to his senses. God used a rooster to speak to Peter in the New Testament. God used a dove to preach to Noah in the Old Testament. Here God uses a coffin that's filled with dead man's bones to preach a message to the nation of Israel. But today, I want you to know that Joseph's coffin still has a message that can preach to us as well. Something in this chapter, in this portion of Scripture, can preach to you and me here today. And so I want you to listen closely to this message that is going to be preached from the coffin. I want to share with you some of the statements this coffin makes as it sits there in Egypt. It might have preached its message centuries ago, but the Word of God is just as much alive today as it was then. And it speaks loudly to us today as well. So let's consider a coffin in Egypt. Number one, it preaches a message of passing. It preaches a message of passing. Among the dying words of Joseph are words of his own mortality. He knows that he is going to die. And he does, and his body is placed in that coffin. It preaches a loud message to all who see to it that they too are mere mortals and will pass from death to life. That message is for everyone here today. This is a life of passing for us. We will all pass from this life into the next life. We will pass from this temporary life into a life of eternal state. And that is a message that we need to hear today, because most likely none of us will live to be 110 years old. You probably won't make it that long. The fact of the matter is we are all stated for death. We don't escape it. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "For it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment." So we will all pass from death to life. We will all die, and we will stand before God to be judged. The following epitaph was placed on a tombstone in California. "Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." Someone passing by read those words and scratch this thought onto the tombstone: "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." In light of that truth, there are two things to remember. First of all, this life is a time of preparation to meet God in eternity. That's really what this life is all about. We are preparing to meet God in eternity. First of all, come to the place where we know God, and then live a life that is pleasing to God, a life that is being conformed into the image of God, into the image of Jesus Christ. And then number two, if you are going to serve the Lord, today is the day to get about it. Today is the day to start doing it. Don't wait any longer. You might be here today and you've been thinking, someday I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Please don't wait. You might not have much time left. So please don't delay it any longer. And then there might be others here who would say, I'm going to serve God someday. No, today is the day to begin to serve God. Today is the day when we should commit ourselves to Him totally and to give ourselves to His service. The Bible makes it clear that it's foolish to bank our hope on tomorrow. Proverbs 27, verse 1. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." None of us know what will happen tomorrow. None of us know what will happen today. We make plans, but those plans may be altered. None of us know. That truth is illustrated very well in the parable of the rich foolish man, the rich fool. He stored all of his goods in barns. He spent his life building bigger and better barns. He finally got to the place where he thought that he had enough. And he said, "I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. And then, whose shall these things be?" He thought he had a lot of time. He thought he got to the place where he was rich, he could eat, drink, and be merry. And then maybe he had this thought that someday, not now, but someday, I'll give myself to God. and I'll let him have these things. But God says it's foolish to think like that. This very night your soul will be required of you. Then what good is all those things? What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let me tell you, there is nothing more valuable than your soul. Nothing. Your soul will live for all eternity. It'll either live in the presence of God or it'll live apart from his presence in a place called hell. Number two, this preaches a message of promise. As Joseph lays dying, he impresses upon his hearers the truth that one day God himself will visit the people of Israel and he will deliver them from the land of Egypt and he will take them to a land that he had promised them, the land of Canaan. That is the blessed hope. This coffin was a constant reminder to them that there was hope, that there was a promise of a future. I mean, can you imagine being in slavery? This is what happened after Joseph died. There came a time when Pharaoh forgot about Joseph. New leaders sprung up in the land. They made the Israelites their slaves. And they worked them very hard. Can you imagine what it was like being a slave every day of your life? Being beaten, being forced to work long, hard hours. They had the hope that someday this would all be over. Someday God was going to visit his people and he was going to take them out of that bondage experience and bring them into a land that he had promised them. That was their hope for the future. The sad truth of our own mortality bothers many people. They don't like to think about death. They don't like to think about dying. And in fact, this message today might be uncomfortable for some people here. It's not a particular topic that you like to hear preached. But let me say this. Have you ever thought that a cemetery is merely a reminder of the promises of God? It's not just a place where we have buried our loved ones. It's a place where we can be reminded that God has promised some great things to those who are his children. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It is a promise that someday he will come back and the body and soul will be reunited and we will be in heaven for all of eternity. I mean, there is not a greater promise than that. When we see the places where the dead bodies of the departed lie buried, we are reminded that death is not the end. There will come a day when the Lord will come and visit those graves and bring those bodies out of the graves. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. For Israel, the coffin of Joseph was a constant reminder that Joseph had died, but he had not died without hope. He had died with hope. Absolute hope. Absolute faith. In fact, when you think about all the great deeds of the life of Joseph, when you consider the character of Joseph, when you consider what Joseph endured, and when you consider the dreams and the interpretation of those dreams that God gave him, all of these things we could point to and say, this is the reason why he was such a great man of faith. But that's not what the Bible points to when it talks about Joseph as being a great man of faith. It points to the fact that he said, take my bones and carry them out of this desert land and carry them into the land of promise. That's what made Joseph a tremendous man of faith. God was going to someday bring them out of bondage and into a promised land. I'll tell you today, if you have faith that God is going to deliver you from the valley of shadow of death and that someday you are going to be in heaven for all of eternity in his presence, the Bible says that you are a person of great faith. Hope that you have that hope that lies within you this morning. I would like to remind you that we have something far better than a coffin full of bones. As we see our death grow closer with every passing day, we have an empty tomb that gives us comfort and that gives us hope because Jesus Christ defeated death. He rose triumphant from the grave. We have a blessed hope. We have a greater hope than the Israelites even had. They just had the hope of a promised land. We have the hope of heaven. We have the hope because our Savior has already conquered death for us. He is preparing a place for us. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He may come for us before we face death, but even if he doesn't, and death's icy finger takes hold of us someday, rest in his promise that while this body may return to the ground, the soul goes to be with him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So whether I go by the hand of the undertaker or by the upper taker, I am a winner either way. I win. And number three, this coffin preaches a message of patience. A message of patience. In Joseph's dying words, there is no mention of the fact that the children of Israel would be forced to into slavery. They didn't. He didn't tell them that. But it was part of the truth that God had revealed to Abraham. When Joseph died, Israel was in favor in Egypt. But in Exodus chapter 1, it relates the story of how Israel was forced into bondage. And as the years piled up, you can imagine the people became discouraged. They felt defeated as a result of their bondage. But the coffin of Joseph, those bones continued to preach. It preached to them a message of hope, but it also preached to them a message of patience. It said, wait on the Lord. He will come as he has promised. He will deliver you and take you to Canaan, but wait on him. And as you and I live in this world, we are also waiting for the promise of the Lord to be fulfilled. How many of us have entertained thoughts of being raptured and taken out of this world? I remember doing that when I was a student before a big test. I was praying, Lord, send a rapture. Even today, sometimes I look at things down the road, things I don't want to face. It would be great if the rapture would just come. Probably most of us have had those thoughts. We're still here, but we still have hope, don't we? Even though it requires of us patience, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He's just simply willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has delayed his coming so that more people can come to receive his Son as their personal Savior. But until he comes, just let me encourage you to wait in patience. That was a mindset manifested by Job in the midst of his tribulation in Job 14:14. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Even Job knew that in his state, his condition, with all of his troubles, he was waiting on the Lord because he knew that a time of change would come. He knew that deliverance would come. He knew that restoration would come. He knew that healing would come. And the idea of wait has the idea of trust and hope. You see, we do not know where our path may lead us before we leave this world. It might get hard. It might get very hard for some. But until he comes for us, let us patiently wait for him and trust him to guide our paths and to bring into our lives the things that he knows are best for us. Be patient, because the Lord is coming soon. Even though he delays his coming, he's coming soon. That is a promise to you and to me. Revelation 22:20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And John added, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's say that last line together. Let's join the Apostle John. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Until he comes, let the bones of Joseph, the coffin in Egypt, preach a message to you of patience. And number four, it preaches a message of possession. Joseph's dying words, reminder of the Lord's promise to give to Abraham and his descendants the land of Canaan. Genesis 15:16 says, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. This was a promise to Abraham, not realized in the life of Abraham, not realized in the life of Isaac, not even realized in the life of Jacob. In fact, the only person who owned land that was to be the promised land, the only person who owned any of that was Abraham. And he bought a piece of that land so that he could bury his wife there. That was all that they possessed. All they had was the promise. But it was theirs. And it was going to be theirs by possession someday. It was theirs by promise, but someday it would be theirs by possession. eternal life, the heaven, the place that God has prepared for us, is already ours by promise. Someday it'll be ours by possession. We wait for that to happen. The coffin filled with bones was a constant reminder of that truth. It preached the message to Canaan, to Canaan's happy land. I'll go. I'm on my way to Canaan. As we wait for our Lord to come, let's always remember that we are headed to a blessed homeland. We are not citizens of this earth. We do have responsibilities while we are here, but we are really citizens of heaven. And one day we will be there with our Lord. I'm looking forward to getting home. A pastor was preaching on going to heaven. He said, "How many of you would like to go to heaven tonight?" And everybody raised their hands but a little boy in the balcony. Pastor tried again. "How many of you would like to go to heaven?" Everybody but that one little fellow in the balcony. So he said to him, "Son, don't you want to go to heaven?" The little boy said, "Yeah, someday, but I thought you were getting up a load right now." And you know, none of us want to die. We don't really want to. We enjoy our life here. We don't know what eternity is going to all be all about. We just accept by faith that God has a future for us that is better than we can imagine. For nearly 400 years, that coffin preached a message to Israel that they were not home yet, but they were going. I want you to think about that thought. You're not home yet, but you're going. The heavenly home is yours already by promise. You are going, and it will be your possession. That message that coffin preached has not changed. We are not home yet, but we are going soon. Three friends die in a car accident, and they go to an orientation in heaven. They are all asked, "When you are in your casket and friends and family are mourning you, what would you like to hear them say about you?" The first guy says, "I would like to hear them say that I was a great doctor of my time and a great family man." The second guy says, "I would like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and school teacher who made a huge difference in our children of tomorrow." The last guy replies, I would like to hear them say, "Look, he's moving." Again, we have this desire to be here. You know, Paul was even torn. He had the desire to be here because he was needful, but he also had a desire to depart and be with the Lord. That old coffin in Egypt delivered a message that we can identify with today. It speaks a message to your heart. It speaks a message to your situation. It is a message that maybe you have to deal with today. Maybe you have to give death some thought. There is peace, there is power, there is promise in the message that comes from the coffin down in Egypt. It's the same message that our Savior gives to us today. So this message today is meant to be an encouragement to you. Let it encourage you. Let the coffin down in Egypt, let Joseph's bones be an encouragement to you, because we wait for the promise. We are waiting. We're not home yet, but we're going soon. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? This message is a message of passing, a message of promise, a message of patience, and a message of possession. We need to go to the very fundamental part of Christianity. We need to go back to the place where we ask ourselves, have I been born again? If I were to die today, do I know for sure that I would go to be in the presence of the Lord? Do I know for sure that that would be my home? The Bible says that you can be sure. I wonder today, is there anybody here, by an uplifted hand, you would say, "Pastor, I'm not sure that if I were to die today, and I were to stand in the presence of God, and I were to be judged by Him, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven, but I would like to be sure." Would you raise your hand Could I see your hand this morning? Is there anyone? Pastor, I just want to be sure of this. This is the most important decision of your whole life. If you ever want to be sure of something, this is the thing that you want to be sure of. Because we are talking about eternity here. We're not talking about a few hundred years. We are talking about forever and ever and ever. Is there anybody here? Pastor, I'm not sure, but I'd like to be sure. Would you pray for me today that I could be sure? Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Well, Christian, I hope this message to you today was a message of hope. If there's anything in your life that needs to be changed, if there's anything in your life that you need to start doing, let this be today the day that you start. Don't put it off any longer. Let it start today. Serve God today. Serve God faithfully from here on out. Give Him today. Give Him today. Don't worry about all of your life. Just give Him yourself one day at a time. You'll find that He's faithful. And before you know it, you'll look back on a lifetime of service. And you'll say in your heart, there is nothing greater than serving the Lord. I'm glad I made the choice to serve God when I did. The only regret you might have is that you didn't do it sooner. That might be the only regret. Lord, today we thank you for this unusual preacher, this coffin in Egypt. We thank you for the faith of Joseph, who made mention of his bones. Lord, today we pray that we would take these lessons with us. Lord, that we would serve you. Lord, that we would be faithful in our service to you. And that, Lord, as we go through life, we would continue to have our eyes focused on our eternal home. That we, like Jesus, for the joy that's set before us, we can endure the trials, we can endure the afflictions, because we have a hope. We have a blessed hope. You are coming back for us. We will be forever with you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When the trump of the great archangel its mighty tone shall sound, at the end of the age proclaiming shall pierce the depths profound, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory to take the saints on high. What a shouting in the skies from the multitudes that rise, changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. When He comes in the clouds descending, and they who loved Him here from their grave shall awake and praise Him with joy and not with fear. When the body and the soul are united and clothed no more to die, what a shouting there will be when each other's face we see. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, the seed that was sown in weakness shall then be raised in power. And the songs of the blood-bought millions shall hail that blissful hour. When we gather safely home in the morning and night's dark shadows fly, what a shouting on the shore when we meet to part no more.
changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changed, twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. Changed in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. George was clapping with his hurt hand even. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.